Welcome to AM Best Audio.
2024 appears to have been an expensive year for the PNC industry. Natural disasters across the globe accounted for billions of dollars in losses. I'm John Weber for AM Best TV, and I'm speaking today to Tobias Grimm, Chief Climate Scientist at Munich Re. Tobias, so glad you could join us today.
Thanks, John, for having me.
So, Tobias, what do we know about natural catastrophe losses in 2024?
Well, 2024 turned out to be another very costly nature disaster season globally. With $140 billion insured losses, 2024 was the third costliest year on record. For overall losses, we recorded even $320 billion losses. That's the fifth costly year for overall losses. That means we have still a significant insurance protection gap. So most of the losses are still uninsured. The most costly single event for the insurance industry has been Hurricane Milton that hit Florida and in autumn 2024 with $25 billion insured losses. $38 billion was the overall loss toll. The most costly single event for the economy was Hurricane Helene that hit also Florida, but also other states in eastern U.S. with $56 billion overall losses. Thereof, $16 billion have been insured. We saw a notable number of extreme weather events. That means climate change is showing its claws. 2024 has been the hottest year on record with 1.5 degree above pre-industrial era, and that does translate into a number of extreme weather events that we saw all around the globe in 2024, because there's a warmer atmosphere means there's just more energy that can be released in more extreme weather events.
How does this compare with previous years? And based on what you're saying, I suspect I have a pretty good idea of the answer.
Yeah, indeed. So as mentioned, 2024 has been the third costliest year. So there have been two other years that have been more costly for the insurance industry. This has been 2017 with the three major hurricanes, Harvey, Irma, and Maria, that hit 7-8 years ago now. And 2005, the year that was that is in our memories with Hurricane Katrina that hit New Orleans. So these 2 years are still have been more costly than 2024. Apart from that, we saw a remarkable increase compared to 2023. And also this 2025 loss toll has been higher than the 10-year average. The 10-year average is $94 billion for the insurance industry. Now we are with 140. So we just called out the new normal. The new normal means the $100 billion loss threshold for the insurance industry. That's what we have seen now in seven of the eight last 10 years. So this is going to be more and more a norm if we do hit the $100 billion loss threshold. And more on that, we distinguish between peak perils and non-peak perils. So peak perils are kind of volatile events such as earthquakes and hurricanes, whereas non-peak perils are severe convective storms. So frequent event, also lots of river floods and flash flood events count into that. And in some years, we have seen either very high losses from non-peak perils, and in some years from peak perils. And in 2024, we saw both. We saw very active and costly hurricane season, but also lots of severe convective storms and flood losses all around the globe.
Non-peak perils, some people are referring to as secondary perils, of course, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So were there specific regions or parts of the globe that saw significantly more losses this year than in previous years?
So as mostly the United States account for most of the losses, as in most of the years, that's again true for 2024 with lots of hurricane losses, but also lots of severe convective storm losses. But it is not limited to the United States. We saw a number of countries that had $1 billion losses that were kind of surprised. These countries that have not seen these kinds of losses in the past, including Spain in Europe, has seen dramatic floods in autumn. We have seen United Arab Emirates. Dubai was hit by a flood in spring 2024. We all have the pictures in mind when the airport of Dubai was flooded, where there was knee-deep water there. We had Brazil with unprecedented rainfall amounts. So that's what we have seen all around the globe. It's not limited to the US. We have seen a number of countries that were hit by billion-dollar events as well.
You know, I certainly don't need to remind you, Tobias, we just had the January renewals. What are these sorts of losses doing to both rates in the primary markets and the reinsurance markets?
Well, in general, rates go up in case of severe events hitting a particular market and going down again in case there's nothing, no severe event again that hit the markets. That's just part of the very volatile game of softening and hardening the markets, but it is not limited to the type of events and the very expensive events that have hit particular regions or not. There are many other factors that influence market conditions, including just supply and demand, interest rates, geopolitical circumstances. So there's a lot that goes into that. We from Munich Re would prefer to have a more sustainable way to look at insurance and have more stable rates on a long-term basis. So for us, risk adequacy is paramount, and that is a factor that needs to be taken into account on a long-term basis.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
I'm going to look for the silver lining here, Tobias. Have these sorts of disasters led to increased mitigation efforts on the parts of insurers in helping to create more resilient communities?
Well, there's a lot going on, both globally but also in the States, on increasing resiliencies of communities that were hit really hard. I would like to call out maybe three examples here. The one is there's a global initiative that's called Insurance Development Forum, aiming to increase insurance schemes in regions that are severely affected by climate-related disasters and climate risks accordingly, because the less developed world and the less developed countries are often hit by severe disasters globally, and that's where insurance schemes can really help to get these markets back into a more sustainable future. Insurance can play a vital role here. But there are also examples in other parts of the world. Parametric insurance plays a role as well. We just saw in 2024 a significant hurricane. It was Beryl that hit Jamaica, and parametric insurance is just another way of insurance. It's not an indemnify-based insurance. It's more a very simple approach. There's a predefined trigger, and once the trigger is met, then the insurer pays out without all these claims, things that need to be done after that event. And after Hurricane Beryl, there was one of these triggers in Jamaica that was triggered, and the parametric policy paid out to Jamaican cooperative credit unions. And that's one of the good examples that also parametric insurance can play a role here to close that insurance protection gap. And the third example is just a state example in the river of Mississippi. It also contributes to a parametric insurance approach. There is that Mississippi river where lots of cities are Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative, they represent 105 cities along the 10 mainstream states of the Mississippi River Basin. And here we work to map out the parametric insurance to rapidly develop river communities that have suffered repeated losses. And federal disaster funding can often take weeks, months, or even longer to pay out. And traditional insurance programs are tied to property and require proof of loss. And that's where parametric insurance can really help here. And that's where we are mapping out at the moment an initiative here at the Mississippi River Basin to come up with an insurance solution quicker.
Is it safe to assume the industry is gearing up for an active 2025?
Well, 2025 is just ahead of us. We, of course, cannot make any loss projections, nor can we project the weather. But, of course, we have adjusted all of our risk models accordingly. We just take notice that for non-peak periods or secondary periods, we recognize a clear upward trend. That's where we have calibrated all of our cut models accordingly. And peak periods come on top of it. And we are in a 1.5 degree warmer world, and this warmer world does translate into more intense extreme weather events all around the globe. So that's what we can say as of now. Of course, lots of people ask also for the hurricane projection or hurricane forecast for 2025. It's still a bit early to do so. The hurricane season can be dampened by the El Nino phenomenon in the Pacific Ocean. If there's an El Nino coming up, then the development of hurricanes may be suppressed. But as things stand right now, we are in a neutral El Nino phase, heading towards more La Nina phase, and that does not have any suppressing effect, most probably for the upcoming hurricane season. But this does not mean a lot as of now, so there's no reducing effect by that, and we are still in a very warm world. Sea surface temperatures are very high. That means there's a lot of potential for future strong hurricanes, but that's all we can say right now.
Tobias, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
It was a pleasure.
That was Tobias Grimm, Chief Climate Scientist at Munich Re, and I'm John Weber for AM Best TV.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.